Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the 49ers Insider Podcast on NBC Sports Bay Area.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco 49ers Insider, Matt Maiocco.
This is the 49ers Insider Podcast brought to you by Big O Tires, and I'm joined, as I am every week, by Laura Britt. And Laura, that was another exciting game the 49ers played on Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals, very similar to the one they played the Monday night against the Seattle Seahawks, but with a much different ending.
Yeah, much different ending. I don't know, if you have heart problems out there, you probably shouldn't watch the 49ers anymore this season, because I have a feeling the next few weeks going to be very similar as well, hopefully, for the Niners for Niners fans. That would be the case for them. But it was a game that came down to the wire. When you look at the final score, 36-26, it's a lot different than 30 seconds before. It was 30-26, and then DJ Reed scoops it up and takes it into the end zone. So a big moment for the 49ers defense.
And even a lot different than about 30 seconds before that, when the 49ers were looking to be on the bad end of another loss. And poor Chase McLaughlin was over there warming up, not knowing if it was going to be relying on his leg. And then something happened that we've seen happen throughout this season. The 49ers have won 9 of their first 10 games. And every week, some backup is stepping up. On Sunday, DeMontre Moore, who'd been with the club for less than a week after being with them in training camp, made a big play to kind of seal the victory. But before that, even the play before that, Jeff Wilson, his only snap of the game, and they picked the right time to sneak him out of the backfield. And the Cardinals came with the blitz, and Jimmy Garoppolo saw it and got rid of the ball quickly. Perfect play call for the perfect time, and Jeff Wilson is a hero the day after his birthday.
Oh, look at you with the inside information. Happy birthday to Jeff Wilson Jr. Ross Dwelly, we haven't even talked about him. I mean, he's filling in for George Kittle, and he has 2 touchdowns. Should have been 3, but it gets called back due to Weston Richburg with the holding call. But a massive performance from Dwelly. And that's one thing that I think has been interesting in watching the 2019 49ers, because last season in 2018, the Niners dealt with a lot of injuries as well. And granted, it was to very key players, but this year it's to key players again. Of course, it's not Jimmy Garoppolo, which changes the offense significantly, but it's George Kittle. And he's been Garoppolo's favorite target so far this season before he goes out with the injury. So it really has been next man up. And you hear that from across the league. One guy goes down. Oh, it's next man up. It's next man up. That might not necessarily always pan out the way that it does and has for the 49ers this season. So next man up has been very good for the Niners. In most cases, it's the opposite effect.
And this was not a game that started off well. This was not a day that started off well here at Levi's Stadium. And I'm not talking about the 16-0 hole the 49ers found themselves in. Do you know what I'm talking about, Laura?
You're going to out me. You're going to out me like that. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the fact that the Niners only had 12 rushing yards in the first half.
That is not what I'm talking about.
I had 0 rushing yards because I ate it before the game walking around Levi's Stadium.
So we almost had another 49ers related injury. I understand you're walking through the hallways here, the corridor at Levi's Stadium, and you bit it.
Totally. And the worst part is there were people around. So don't know if that's on camera or not. Let's hope that that footage gets burned if it is. If I could have the 49ers training staff, I'd be okay with being injured. My ankle, not sure if it's okay. I'll report back next week and let you know a little update, but I think I'm okay.
If the video surfaced of that fan pulling the face mask off of the Joe Montana statue, then I hope that the video will surface of you taking a dive. And it wasn't a land on your backside dive. It was a full-on front, like, belly flop.
Yeah, good visual for everyone out there. Face plant, face first. The thumb got a little hyperextended, maybe. I'm taking my hits. I feel the pain of the Niners right now. I need an ice bath, although I refuse to take one. But I will ice the ankle and the hand and hopefully be able to hold the mic next week for the 49ers Insider Podcast.
A gritty performance from Laura Britt. She still managed to handle all of her hosting duties on 49ers pregame live and then, of course, on postgame live. And it kind of reminds me of Emmanuel Sanders and Deebo Samuel. Those are two guys who played their hearts out on Sunday. Sanders playing with the ribs injury, and you could tell he was in pain throughout. Deebo Samuel on that amazing juggling circus catch really banged up his shoulder. He returned to the game, and man, he had a heck of a game on Sunday. Coming up with more than 100 yards receiving.
Yes, Samuel finishes with 8 receptions for 134 yards. He was Garoppolo's favorite target. When that happened, when Deebo Samuel took the hit and goes off to the sideline, you see him, you know, talking with the team doctor. Your gut just kind of takes a punch if you're a Niners fan, because there have been so many injuries, and he was able, luckily, to be able to come back in the game for the 49ers and was very productive throughout the entire game for the Niners. But you just wonder when it's going to stop as far as injuries are concerned. And I get that it's the NFL, but it feels like the Niners have had more than their fair share of injuries to very important players this season.
Well, in keeping with the topic of the wide receivers, this week I sat down with 49ers passing game coordinator Mike LaFleur. And I didn't talk to him about what the receivers are going through this season and kind of the up and down performances. And we'll talk about that maybe after we have this interview with Mike LaFleur. But what I wanted to talk to Mike LaFleur about was that his brother's coming to town. Mike LaFleur is 32 years old. His brother is 7.5 years older than him, Matt LaFleur, and he's the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And this is going to be another exciting game. 49ers and the Packers, two of the top teams in the NFC, going at it at Levi Stadium Sunday night. And here's my conversation with Mike LaFleur. This is the 49ers Insider Podcast, brought to you by Big O Tires. And my guest this week is Mike LaFleur, the 49ers passing game coordinator. Mike, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Talking to you this week, not because I don't want to talk to you every week, but this week is kind of special because as you look over to the east side of Levi Stadium, there will be a very familiar face over there. Yep. Or your brother, Matt LaFleur, yep. First-year head coach of the Green Bay Packers. It's got to make it special.
Yeah, it is. It's not the first time, actually, because 2017 when he was with the Rams, got to play him twice there. Obviously, here the first game, week 3, it was a Thursday night game. It was a thriller. It was an awesome game. And then that last game of the season down in L.A. So not the first time for me or him or my folks or the rest of the family, but definitely obviously going to be a little bit different just now, him being the head coach there. And just, you know, obviously proud of him, but for that moment, it's going to be all about the Niners.
Take me back to growing up in Mount Pleasant, Michigan.
Yep.
You were 7.5, still are 7.5 years younger than Matt. What was your connection like?
Yeah, so we grew up in Mount Pleasant. We were born and raised there. My parents, they met there. My dad played football at Central Michigan, which is Central Michigan University, which is in Mount Pleasant. My mom went to school there as well. And so they never left. My dad coached at Central for 20-some years up until I was in elementary school. So we grew up around football, around sports. He was 7.5 years older than me, so you know, I was the annoying little brother trying to hang out with him and his friends from the moment I can remember, you know, and I was always at everything he did. I was always the ball boy for the football team, the basketball team, whatever. So I was always around him. Again, I'm sure he was pretty annoyed and wanted me away. But, you know, I looked up to him so much, and he knew that, and he was an awesome big brother. I'd say we got really close probably when he went off to college, when I was in sixth grade, and then as I kind of went through junior high and early high school, Still looking up to him as he was a college athlete, but that's where I think we actually got really close, is when he kind of went away. And, you know, I'll never forget those times.
Well, at what point did you know that your brother would get into coaching as well?
Right away. I think we all knew. We just loved football. We loved sports. We particularly loved football. We were around my dad at all times. And, you know, I knew for, I guess, right when he got done playing at Saginaw Valley, my brother, he was getting right into coaching, and that was no shocker. I didn't know if there was anything else to do.
And then you played football at Elmhurst.
Yep.
Quarterback there.
Yep.
3-year letterman. Were you always just kind of thinking that after football, you'll be coaching?
I always thought I was going to coach. You know, I mean, that's what I always wanted to do. When I went to Elmhurst, just being in Chicago, being from a small town in Mount Pleasant, and then going to Elmhurst, which is a suburb of Chicago, my parents, probably because it was a Division III school, and they had to fork up some coin to let me go to Elmhurst because I wanted to play Division III football. They're just like, you know, and my brother too, just go into finance, work in Chicago, work downtown, get away from football. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'm gonna make all this money and live in Chicago and have a great life. And then after one semester of finance, I'm like, Mom, I'm not doing this. I'm getting my education degree and I'm gonna coach. And she's like, I know, I was just waiting for it. So I wasted a semester in finance, didn't do very well, and switched majors, and the rest is history.
How did Matt end up with Kyle Shanahan and Mike Shanahan? How did that all come about?
So Robert Saleh was a grad assistant at Central Michigan with my brother for the 2 years, and you know, they just hit it off right away. Usually there was two GAs, it was them two, and you know, you don't get paid anything as a grad assistant, so they had to just bunk up in some cheap apartment, and they didn't have any cable or anything like that, so they'd always, when we lived, my parents and we lived about a mile down the road, so they were always over, and they just became best buddies and did everything together. And then Robert broke into the NFL, got on the Houston staff. Matt was actually coaching at a Division II school, Ashland, up in Ohio, and they needed an offensive assistant quality control in Houston, and Saleh had done a good job on the defensive side and just said something to either Gary Kubiak or Kyle, like, hey, I got a guy that'd be really good. And that was that. And Saleh actually called Matt, from the story I've been told, that, you know, hey, I got you a job with the Texans. And Matt's like, no, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, I got you in, you know. And that was that. He got him in and went down and worked for Kyle, and they spent 2 years there. Then Kyle brought him to Washington, and
whatever became of that Saleh guy.
Yeah, we're still trying to figure out where he is. So
then you get into the coaching ranks, and your brother not only helped you, he just accepted a job on your behalf, right?
Yeah. Well, the first. When it was really weird in 2010 when I graduated from college, him and I actually basically got hired on the same day. He was in Houston, and then Mike Shanahan hired him in Washington, and I got a job at a Division II school in Indiana, and I spent 3 years there. I literally was just out of college, thought I knew football, had no idea what I was doing. And Matt gave me the Houston Texans playbook, and I studied it like no other through the night, and just was trying to learn a lot of, you know, things. And then spent some years there. When they all got let go in Washington, Matt, my brother, got a job at Notre Dame. And then Kyle was still kind of looking around, took the job in Cleveland. And Kyle called Matt and said, hey, would your brother want to be a QC? He goes, yeah, he'll take it. And I was down at Davidson College in North Carolina at the time. I got a call on a Sunday night. My wife was sleeping. Matt's like, hey, you're going to Cleveland. I go, you're not going to Cleveland. You just went to Notre Dame. He goes, no, you're going to Cleveland. I go, I am? He goes, yeah, tomorrow morning, pack up. And so I packed up the car and drove up at 10 in the morning and was there in Cleveland.
you had no say in the matter.
No say, no.
What does that tell you about your brother and how he's looking out after you and accepting a job on your behalf?
He always was looking out for me from just times when I was like in elementary, just watching me in sports and stuff like that. And obviously in those situations when it comes to the profession and all that, he's always – And to be honest with you, I think he's always looked out for me more than he's looked out for himself. And I like to think that I do the same for him. You know, now obviously this week we both got a job to do the whole week. And then, you know, obviously on Sunday, both for our organizations that we work for. But, you know, I love him and I know he feels the same, and he's always had my back.
What was it like being on the same staff with your brother with the Falcons?
It was definitely challenging at first, you know, because we had such that age difference. We didn't really grow up together that much. I mean, we saw each other all the time, talked all the time, and we obviously were really close, but never really lived together as adults. And we didn't live together in Atlanta, but seeing him every single day, I'd never been like that since fifth grade, I guess. And so, and just in the environment that we're in, it was definitely challenging. It was learning, and I know he used to get, you know, probably sick of me at times, and I know I felt the same way, but it was, I remember just that first year thinking, man, this dude works hard. And he put in a lot of time and worked his butt off. And we talked after that first year and just said, you know, we gotta be better with each other, particularly me. I thought I just need to be better. And that second year, just in terms of, you know, that he technically, Kyle was my boss, Dan Quinn was the head coach, he's a boss, but Matt was my boss too. I was a QC, and there were times where I was a little brother and kind of, you know, shake him off a little bit or something like that. And we just, I think I just had a mature up a little bit, I guess, if you want to call it that, and understand that we're all trying to get the same stuff done. And that second year, obviously we had a very good year on the field, but we had an awesome time. I know I did personally, awesome time working with him and that whole staff. Our whole staff was really cool.
I remember meeting both of you guys at the Super Bowl, and yeah. At that point you guys knew that you were going to be going on divergent paths. Yep. He was going to be going to the Rams as offensive coordinator, and then you'd be coming here to the 49ers. Was it difficult to, you know, after working with your brother for 2 years and having that one really good year together, to be going in your own directions at that point?
Yeah, it was, you know, just because that year, him and I personally had a great time coaching together, but also that 2016 season in Atlanta was just a lot of fun, a lot of cool players. Like I said, great coaching staff. So it was a memorable year. Obviously, did not finish the way we wanted. But, you know, I knew he had a really good thing going with Sean, and I knew I had a really good thing going coming here with Kyle. We both were in very, very good situations where people working for people that we really respect and that are really, really good at what they do. I think the hardest thing was probably his kids, I want to say, were 6 and 4 at the time. You know, they lived 2 miles down the road, and I love those little guys, Luke and Ty. And my daughter was almost 2, and we had a really cool family set up there. And, you know, my brother's wife, Bree, and my wife, Lauren, they're like best friends, you know, and they got to just lean on each other all the time and sort of, you know, just pack up and do what we have to do sometimes in the profession. I think that was probably the hardest thing.
And now this word from Big O Tires.
Black Friday sale days at Big O Tires are back. Almost everything is discounted, including buy 3, get 1 free on select in-stock tires with installation purchase. Plus, flexible options available with your Big O credit card. See participating Big O Tire store for all offer details. Ends December 8th.
So then after your first year here with the 49ers, Kyle made both you and Mike McDaniel coordinators.
Yep.
What did that signal to you about kind of, you know, where you fit in with this organization? Because Kyle Shanahan does not have, quote unquote, an offensive coordinator. He's the play caller.
Right.
But he has 2 coordinators on offense, which is kind of a unique deal.
Yeah. I don't know. That first year, the second year to even this year, you know, I'm in the quarterback room this year, the first 2 years being in the receiver room, obviously. I've never looked at it any differently. The title's the title. It doesn't really matter to me. We have a job to do, and it's to help this offense, these players, this organization. Kyle and Mike helps out tremendously with the run game and does an unbelievable job. And obviously I focus more time on the pass game, but all the assistants have a hand in everything we do. And we got a really cool setup right now, I believe, and it's functioning well. We got a long way to go and still a lot of room to improve, but it's been fun.
So the reason I bring up the coordinator thing is because you had an interesting situation in the offseason after Matt, your brother, becomes the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. They put in a request to interview you or to hire you as offensive coordinator there. And as Kyle has explained it, basically you were going to be doing the same thing there that you do here, which is a non-play calling coordinator. And he didn't want to lose you.
Yeah, no, and you know, it was cool. It was honestly, I got so much respect for Kyle, and I love being here. I love working here. I love living in this area, you know. So it was really a non-story for me. I mean, obviously, it just kind of blew up, and Matt put the request in there, and I understand. Like, he trusts me. He trusts that, and he wanted me obviously to go to Green Bay with him. But he got a great coordinator in Nate Hackett, and I got to stay here. And I think it's a win-win for everybody. It's awesome.
Did it surprise you that he would want you on his staff, especially first year head coach? Because that comes with a lot of responsibilities, and it seems like it would almost be putting more on his own shoulders to hire his brother.
Yeah, and it could have, and you know, I don't know what his thought process on that. I don't know, and maybe it's wrong or naive, but I don't know if Matt thinks that way. I think he just thinks what's the best for you know, what's going to help him the most, and what's the best for whatever organization he's going to, obviously the Green Bay Packers. So I think that's what his thought process was. But again, it was over real quick, and again, I couldn't be happier.
And now that you've seen how the Packers are doing, they're right there with you guys among the top teams in the NFC. What have you kind of seen from afar of the job your brother's doing, and how that Packers team has really turned around and having a very good season?
Yeah, they are. They're having a good year, and it's pretty unique just looking back and you know, watching them every week and seeing the scores and stuff like that. And it's cool, you know, with the cameras in at the end of the game, listening to them speak to the team and address the team, and because you didn't really have to do that. Obviously, the times I was with them in Atlanta, he had the quarterback room and Kyle's in the quarterback room, so you didn't have to speak that often. And to just see him in a situation that I've never seen him in, that he's really never obviously been in, never being a head coach, it's unique. I'm really, really proud of him. But again, this Sunday will be, you know, we'll have to take it to him.
Do you envision yourself at some point down the line being with him again and coaching on the same staff?
It doesn't even cross my mind. You know, when 30 years from now, if we're still doing this and we're still going. But no, I mean, right now it's all about what we're doing right here in San Fran. We got a lot of work to do still this year, and I truly, truly try to ground myself in just in terms of just living in the moment and coaching in the moment and trying to help these players do as well as they can and help this organization win as many games as possible.
Can you explain to me how you and Mike McDaniel kind of work things out as far as, you know, what you do behind the scenes to assist Kyle in doing his job?
Sure, yeah. So just with the game plan, I guess it kind of starts there. You know, Mike and I have obviously been with him the longest on the staff. And, you know, he does a tremendous job with the run game. Him and John Benton are kind of the, you know, the two that put their heads together in that. And then, you know, Mike and I will just get together on Mondays and Tuesdays and just try to marry up the run game and the pass game formationally. If he's got a good run that's going to match up with a protection that we could do with a pass concept, then we're going to do that. And Kyle, you know, just being who he is and envisioning how he wants to call a game on Sunday, he just kind of glues it all together. And you know, it's you just try to throw ideas at him. Sometimes I have too few, sometimes I have too many. And but he has as good of a mind as, I mean, anyone I've ever been around, and he kind of puts it all together. So I think we just lay it all out there for him. We try to help him as much as possible, and then he orchestrates it.
In general terms, kind of conceptually, there's a purpose behind everything in your playbook and your game plan heading into a game. Can you talk about what you guys try to do to keep the defense guessing week to week?
Yeah, the thing that I've really and I continue to learn through Kyle is, like, you have to have an answer for everything the defense does. And if you don't have an answer, the play might make sense 80% of the time, but 20% doesn't, then that play's not going in, or whatever it might be. You got to make sure that you're putting these players in the best position possible. And so, you know, that's the one thing that I've really taken from him, is just the detail in which you have to look for in terms of what the defense is doing and making sure that you're putting these guys in the best position.
So you and Mike McDaniel, what you guys try to do is to have that kind of blending or melding of ideas so that you don't get too predictable by formation.
Yeah.
The playbook is wide open.
Certainly, certainly. And that's why I think it's been documented that the playbook for whatever is a struggle for people to learn. And I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I think we have a lot, like, in terms of, like, just a menu. And what I mean by that is, like, we can move players around each and every week to try to put them in the best position possible, whether it be matchup, whether it be the angle, whatever it might be. That's why the playbook is as thick as maybe it you know, it is. But, yeah, Mike and I, we just, you know, try to keep it married as much as possible. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes it's more than others. But we try to, you know, like I said, just keep it as married with the run and pass game as possible.
And that's obviously the same thing that the Packers do, right, with your brother's head coach.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's got to be a lot of similarities, even though you're not studying the Packers right. offense, but there's got to be a lot of similarities right. in the two teams that we'll see on Sunday.
Yeah, no, there's you definitely can pop on a Green Bay game on Sunday, and you know, I don't want to say call out every single play watching the tape, but you know, it has a lot of similarities, but also a lot of differences too. I mean, they incorporate a lot of what Aaron's always done in the past, cuz I mean, he's Aaron Rodgers, and you know, he's a Hall of Famer, and he's had quite a bit of success, you know. So I think he's done a good job of figuring out what Aaron does really well, what Aaron likes to do, what the receivers can do. Every offense is different, you know. Everywhere you go, I mean, we're different than we were in Atlanta, and we're evolving just like every offense in this league is, you know. So but definitely there's similarities between the Rams offense, our offense, Green Bay offense, but again, it's all a little bit different based on the personnel that you got.
So your parents have to be, I guess, probably in part loving this and also kind of dreading this with the stress of having someone on either sideline. Of course, you're up in the booth during games. Your brother will be on the sideline. How are your parents enjoying
they're good.
You know, the season?
They've been to a lot of our games. They've been to a lot of the Green Bay games. Obviously, it's a little quicker for them to get to the Green Bay, but they definitely love coming out here. They're out here right now because they love the weather. I think there's like 20 inches of snow in Michigan or something like that, they were saying. So they're enjoying being out here. It's you know, it's been interesting because we obviously, being on the West Coast, we don't have the same game times as them. So my mom has to go through about 8 hours straight of one of her sons coaching in a game. So it's just stressful. And she usually just, she's not at the game, or if she's at the game, she's just walking around, not even watching. If she's at home, she's walking around the yard, or she's out shopping or something, because she just won't watch it. It's too stressful for her. So
will she be there Sunday night?
She'll be there Sunday. Yeah. I don't know what she'll do. I don't know where she'll be. My dad will be in his seat the entire time. And we don't ask. I don't care. I just root for the winning team, you know. Right. Yeah. So that's what they did in 17. We split with them, went 1-1 with the Rams, and you know, either way, it doesn't matter. It's all love.
All right. Well, Mike, wishing you a good week. Hope you have some time with your brother too, and the rest of the family. And thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Yeah, appreciate it, Matt. Thanks.
We're back on the 49ers Insider Podcast. I'm joined by Laura Britt again, and this is going to be something else. I mean, the 49ers have played some close games here the last 3 weeks, and I got to imagine Sunday night against the Packers is going to be another good one.
The NFL noticed that, too. That's why it got flexed into Sunday Night Football, this game originally not scheduled for Sunday Night Football. So the Niners being 9-1 and the Packers being 8-2 just has a nice setup for a really good football game. The Packers sitting atop the NFC North, the Niners sitting atop the NFC West. Sunday Night Football should be electric at Levi's Stadium next week, and I'm fully expecting that. I got to talk with Dante Whitner and Jeff Garcia a little bit on the postgame show, as well as Nick Bosa. He joined us on 49ers Postgame Live on Sunday about how to face Aaron Rodgers, because the 49ers have faced great quarterbacks in the sense of Russell Wilson of the Seahawks, and Kyler Murray has been, despite the Cardinals' record, he's had a really good rookie season. But the Niners are about to hit a really tough stretch where they have the Packers, the Ravens, and the Saints. That's Aaron Rodgers, Lamar Jackson, and Drew Brees, three of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So I'm interested to see how the defense will handle those scenarios and how they'll put the pressure, and if they'll be able to put pressure on Rodgers, Jackson, and Brees. Those three games are going to be very telling about what is inside this 49ers team.
You know, and I thought that they showed some vulnerabilities, the 49ers defense, in the two games against the Cardinals because of the way the Cardinals attacked them. You know, they did the spread, they did the read option kinds of plays, running out of the shotgun formation, the running back, Kenyon Drake, got some yards. Kyler Murray got some yards, but they also hit him with those quick hitting passes and the screens. But it seemed like in the second half, the 49ers defense made the adjustments and they took the screen game away. So I'm sure there will be bits and pieces of what the Cardinals did to the 49ers that other teams around the league will employ from time to time. But the 49ers defense really showed up in the second half against the Cardinals at key times. And that's the kind of defense that they expect to show up against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, which obviously that is no small challenge going up against one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history.
Yeah, and Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have to match and exceed Aaron Rodgers in his performance as well. I think Jimmy G has a new favorite team he likes to play, and that's the Cardinals, because he had career nights against the Cardinals on that Halloween night game in primetime. And then again on Sunday, he threw for 303 yards in the second half alone. The Cardinals were really able to limit him in the first half. He was 8 of 15 for 121 yards and one touchdown, no interceptions in the first half. And then the second half just lights it up. And I really think it is all about those halftime adjustments. The 49ers score 26 points in the second half and limit the Cardinals to just 10 points in the second half.
The 49ers have some challenges on defense. They've already lost Ronald Blair for the season with the ACL injury. And on Sunday, D Ford went out of the lineup with a hamstring injury. That one's going to be very difficult because I don't know if you can come back from a hamstring injury on such a short turnaround. And DeMontre Moore is kind of, he's going to see a lot of playing time after, you know, being with the team in the offseason and then stepping right in. You know, they're going to be looking for more from Nick Bosa, who's gone three games now without a sack. But DeForest Buckner really looked good on Sunday. They're going to need more from him, Eric Armstead. And I think one of the more encouraging parts about what we've seen from the 49ers is the amount of depth that we've seen, and not just on the defensive line, but also in the secondary. Look what Emmanuel Mosley did stepping in for Akello Witherspoon. And then Witherspoon, who hasn't lost his starting job, the 49ers still say that he's going to retain that starting job when he's fully ready to go. But he stepped out there Sunday against the Cardinals and made some plays in a very limited role. So 49ers are going to need everybody on that 53-man roster and beyond to keep this thing going.
I'm just curious from your perspective, because you are able to be in the locker room and you get to get the sense of if these guys are down about all those injuries. I'm just curious from that perspective, do you feel like it's getting to the team at all, or are they still keeping their positive outlook on the season?
I think it gets to them in the aftermath, and then they realize that you have to move on. Like that game against the Seattle Seahawks on the Monday night, that locker room was really glum. And I think it had more to do with Ronald Blair's injury than it did the actual loss. But then you have guys stepping up. And so now, you know, the guys who are down about Ronald Blair, you know, then kind of help DeMontre Moore get into it. And guys who are down about Quan Alexander, you know, help Dre Greenlaw and bring him along. And so everybody is kind of invested in this whole thing. And it certainly helps when you have Quan Alexander not feeling sorry for himself. He's out there still being, you know, the guy on the sidelines to hype guys up. It helps that Ronald Blair is such a positive guy in the locker room. So I think the personality of those guys help everybody else.
They will certainly need all of that positive energy as they head into their Week 12 matchup against the Green Bay Packers, flexed into Sunday Night Football at Levi's Stadium.
It gets exciting from here on out, as if it hasn't been exciting already enough, with the Packers, followed by the Ravens, followed by the Saints. So, I mean, this season is just now heating up, and we'll be here every step of the way on the 49ers Insider Podcast. You've been listening to the 49ers Insider Podcast. If you haven't already, please visit Apple Podcasts or Google Play to subscribe. And please give us a rating and a review. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at NBCS Authentic. We'll be back next week with another great edition of the 49ers Insider Podcast. Thank you for listening.
The 49ers Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com.
We'll be right back. Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.